We have Alex O'Neill and...
Rachel Dearborn from Landmark Surveys.
Okay. At this point, if it's okay with the board, I will open up the public comments again on the O'Neill case, because we closed them last time, and there was some concern that the board members had about right-of-way and telephone pole and so forth, so the floor is yours.
Thank you. Go ahead, Al, please, sir.
Thanks for having me here again. A little couple things I've done since we were here last.
Fine.
Okay. There was some comments about maybe whether there was an easement on my property or the Dove's property to access a rear portion of her lot. Since the last meeting, not only did I have the attorney that we used when we bought the property review for any easements in our title search, I also went ahead and had a title search done of her property and had him review it, showing that there's no easements on her property either. So on either property, on public record with the town of Bolton, back to, I believe, the early 50s, late 40s, there's no easements. In the packet, I also uploaded a document saying that the attorney did review those and there are no easements. In addition, I took an exuberant amount of time to talk to somebody at Eversource, and we have confirmed that the pole that is very close to where the proposed building is would need to be moved at my expense. It's a good idea anyway for safety, as was brought up at the last meeting. And that is something that will obviously get done per the variance being approved. Also, there was some questions on what some of the lines meant on the site plan I had submitted. I didn't know at that time. I have confirmed what they are, but I'm going to let Rachel speak on it, if you guys would allow. She would also speak on why the garage would go where it was. There was some questions about why not put it in the front yard or put it in the backyard. She would be helping me out and explaining why where I have it proposed would be the best place. So with that,
thanks.
Rachel.
Sure. I did bring my own copy because I wasn't sure you were going to have it. Mine is only slightly different in that I highlighted the line of concern, or the line that's we're discussing this evening. So I'm not sure if...
Maybe you can put that one over here. That's
yep,
the same as that one.
It is the same, except I've just highlighted that south line.
I understand.
Line.
That's okay.
So
give them a chance. Over
sure.
There.
Yep. So now you both have one in front of you. So I guess there was some concern of what this 253.9 line was. I'll turn it around because I've seen this plenty of times. This 253.9 line goes from the corner of the barn, the proposed garage barn area, all the way back to the monument found in the back corner. So it runs kind of very close to the property line there, but it is not actually anything to do with the property line. It's just giving a dimension from the barn to the closest backyard. So our rear yard setback for any building is 40 feet, which we note here. But then I just wanted to show you that we're 253 feet away from the rear property line. So there's no issues there with a rear setback. I also did the same thing in the front. I dimensioned from the front of the garage. Oh, I did not. That's why I didn't. I'm sorry, I dimensioned from the house, which is more restrictive than the barn is going to be. And there's 247 feet from the front of the house to the front property line. So that's kind of all, you know, way on the other side of the map. So that doesn't look as much like a property line. So hopefully that clears up what those are. The location of the barn, if you take a look at the map, I did bring a little highlighter. So for the most part, and I'll do the same thing over there, the property is fairly level from about this 644 contour, about this 644. So this area here is kind of the top of the hill. I don't know if you can see it from the pictures you submitted, but it comes up pretty steep. It's about 7%. And then it flattens out where they chose to build the house, the pool, the garage. And it makes the most sense to expand in that campus area and the top of the hill, so that you're not bringing in a bunch of fill and you're not excavating a bunch of material to make that happen. So the same thing, I just want to show you, can I write on this one? I can just highlight. So from this 644 contour about here to about this area here. So the rear yard from the 644 going to the back of the property would be reserved for the existing septic area and then a reserve septic area. And we would not want to put anything in the backyard. The further down it goes, the wetter it gets. And there's actually a berm at the back of the property that's kind of directing that water flow and keeping it trapped. So it gets very wet as you get to the bottom of the hill. So construction of anything back here is not recommended from just a logistics standpoint. In the front yard, if you were to put it anywhere in the front yard, you'd be looking at something either closer to the road or maybe even set back a little. You have the constraint of the steepness of the driveway and then the cut and fill. You'd have at least a 6-foot cut from one side of the barn to the other. And that would make it challenging to get in this driveway and make a turn into it. The other thing, and the more restrictive aspect of it, is that when you drive in that driveway, you're looking at the front of the house. And if you were to put the garage in front of it, it would kind of change the characteristic of driving into a residential place. So you kind of have the garage in front of the house, and it would change just the whole, the way the house looks. I don't know if any of you took an opportunity to drive by it or took a look at it.
Yes.
It's a nice looking place from when you drive up the driveway, and that would change significantly if you blocked it with a garage.
So, please finish. I do have a question, but maybe finish.
So that basically does it. The other thing it will improve is you can see that he's been using this area. There's an existing container and telephone pole in that area. He parks a lot of his equipment as well as his RV, I believe, was out there.
It's in New Hampshire now.
Okay.
I want to be able to store it at home.
Something else large was parked there. I forget what it was.
A trailer there.
Okay, a trailer. And that's currently very close to the property line and actually over the property line a little bit. That would be put inside this barn, so that would be removed as part of the process of building this barn. So we'd actually be increasing the setback and improving the property line condition right now. So with that being said, I think you can now ask your questions.
I guess it's just a subtle question, but looking at this picture here, you have 10 feet, that's what's stated in the variance request?
Yes.
And this seems to cross a line here. Is it actually not 10 feet, or am I just looking at this thing?
Oh, okay, so this line right here is the existing gravel.
Yep.
That's there.
But the front right corner?
No, it would also be 10 feet. Yep, that would be 10 feet as well. I could dimension that on the plan if you would like. But yes, the 10 feet would be the minimum at any point along the garage. So he's like, this kind of line kind of overlaps the corner of the garage. That's an existing gravel millings area.
Okay.
So this 10 feet would be the same both in the front and the back.
And then in the application, it says 3,000 square feet?
For the barn?
Yeah.
30 by 50.
Oh, that's just my bad math. 1,500.
So that would probably have to be corrected.
I would say we would correct that.
In the proposal, it says 3,000, not 1,500.
Is it two-story?
We're going with a 30 by 50 foundation.
Says 3,000 in the, says 3,000 square feet in the application.
Yeah, I understand. I believe I messed that up.
It's one story, correct? It's not two-story?
At this time, it's one story, yeah.
Okay. So we'll need to, you know, however this all gets handled, we'll have to make that correction in the application.
Does the application also state that it's a 50 by 30? Just so that we're not changing too much?
My understanding is 50 by 30. I'm not sure where the 3,000 came up. Maybe I missed something, Bill.
Yeah, it's in the document.
I don't remember catching that either, so.
I had 30 by 50 in my mind, so.
Yeah.
And then also in the application, and this might be my ignorance, but there's some illumination of the setback required. And I think in, I have trouble finding it now. It might be on the piece. I think, you know, it doesn't say 25. It says 10 or 15. I'll find it as we progress here. But it looked to me like the existing setback requirement was supposed to be there. And that would have said 25. And what it says is 15.
Oh, when you're filling out the application?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
So we're going to have to check there.
Yep, something we'll just, yes. We're looking for a variance to reduce it from 25 to 10.
Right.
So however that's worded, that's what we're requesting.
I know it sounds kind of picky, but.
No, that's important details.
That would be a 15-foot variance, right?
Yeah, it was this number here that got me confused. Front required, right required 25, right provided 10. I just wasn't sure if that was tied to the proposal or.
So provided right now with existing conditions would be 40 feet.
Yeah, so that's the way I've read these in the past.
And that's what you'd like to have that there?
Yeah.
Okay, so existing conditions is a 40-foot setback to the existing garage, and we would like to make it a 10-foot for the expansion.
Right.
Okay.
Right, it's clerical, but important.
Did you see that, Alex?
You did.
What's 40 feet?
Wants this 10 to be.
Did I miss something?
In the proposal, I think it's kind of illuminating what setback is being utilized now.
It says 25 on my sheet.
Yeah.
40 feet from the property line to the existing.
Yeah, the right required 25, it says right provided 10.
I got.
I think that 10 should say something.
So right here on the application.
The 10 should be related to the existing structures.
Underneath what's provided, but provided is actually 40 from here.
Existing.
Existing, and we're looking for a variance for 10. So it's just kind of the number I.
May I see that?
Yeah, that's just input.
You want a variance from the side yard setback regulation?
Yep.
And what is the?
Now that's existing.
Side yard.
Requirement?
Yes.
25 feet. And we want to reduce that to 10.
Right, okay.
The right.
So how does 40 enter this conversation?
Sure, so 40 is what it is right now.
And they want to reduce it down to 10.
Oh, from the.
He has 40 feet from the existing garage to the property line.
Right provider.
Have him.
Okay?
Yep.
But we want to. Is everybody good with that, or we?
No, I'm slow in picking that one up, but in any event, they need 25 is a requirement. But what you're asked, and by the time you get through building a building, there's going to be 10 feet.
Yep.
That's all I'm concerned with.
Okay.
And anything clerical that I have to change, submit, re-redo, I'd do whatever you guys want me to do.
Where's the 40 feet coming in, from what the existing garage is now?
From the existing garage to the property line.
To the property line?
Yep.
It should say 40 in the application.
Kind of like I showed you from the proposed garage to the back line, from the existing garage to the side yard, there's currently 40 feet there.
Between the garage now, that's there, and the property line?
Yep.
Okay.
So we're not, we don't have any.
So he wants to make it 30 by 50?
Yep.
Well, 30 from 40 leaves 10.
That's right.
Right.
And that's what we're asking for.
And that's what you're going to wind up with, is a 10-foot.
You got it.
Side yard line.
You got it.
What's the rest of it?
Nope, you had it figured out all along.
The 40 makes no difference in the back, you're a long ways from the back.
No, no, you're absolutely right, Maureen. In the application, I think these setbacks speak to the existing land in terms of how it's being used.
This is what the town requires.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, this is what they're going to have by the time they get through.
Okay, that's speech I'm not sure about.
Yeah?
That's speech I'm not sure about. Is this, if approved, or is this as currently being utilized?
No, this is for what, if it's approved.
Okay.
That's what the 10 would be, that's my understanding.
All right, we'll double-check that.
All right, well, we did it right if that's what's, because that's what we want to be, but.
Fine.
If it's not, then we can change it.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions, otherwise I'm good, unless you have anything else.
So, Alex, you're going to move the pole if this gets approved?
I am, yes.
So how does that work out? How do you, what are the requirements in terms of how you achieve?
If I could bid, Bill?
Sure.
We'll find in our discussions that the pole is not going to be an issue.
Okay, but I'm just reacting to his opening comments. He said he had it reviewed, and if he got the building approved, he has requested.
My point is, that's a private matter between he and the light company.
If you want me, I'll speak on it. I don't know the exact process of moving the pole. If I had to speculate from the conversation I had with this gentleman over the phone.
Yeah.
Is that they would come and set a new pole. I'd have a general contractor and electrician I would assume full permits with it. I don't exactly know, because I haven't done all the research, because I didn't know if we were gonna get there.
My, I guess I probably didn't ask the question properly. I, you know, do you understand what's required to address the need to move the pole, and is that feasible?
Yes, to me it is.
That's why I had the letter from the Eversource there, to see if that, allayed your concerns, evidently not.
You made it very clear to me that it was.
Statement one is, it needs to move. State, you know, my question is, okay, can it be moved?
Yes.
Right.
It can be moved.
Yeah.
What that process is, I don't know. We didn't go down that road until we knew what we were gonna be doing there.
Okay.
There was talk about using, there's two poles on my property. There was talk about maybe going from the first pole, but it's too long of a run. They only, I know they only allow 150 feet underground, and it more like 190 feet. So that is not feasible, so there would be another pole.
And how long a run from a pole to a?
Again, less than 150 feet, not something, a road we went down until we found out of.
Okay.
Where we were gonna stand. He also made it very abundantly clear that it would financially be on me, which is understandable, because our company didn't do it.
Okay.
So they're moving it closer to the road, closer to the.
Probably on the same.
If I had to make, if I had to make an assumption, where am I?
Here's the.
Oh, we're upside down, okay. So here's the pole here.
Yeah.
The corner of the house, A, is where the meter is. I would imagine the pole gets set on the same line just over here, so it's a straight run.
You just can't put a phone pole on it. So we're having a side conversation, I apologize.
I'll explain it later.
No, but you can't put a phone pole anywhere on your property, right? You just can't, you know.
We'll have to work with Eversource.
They dictate what's appropriate, and so.
Eversource is gonna work very closely with him and tell them what.
Clearly you have to come forward towards the street, I guess.
Yep.
And my question is just that, you know, is the feasibility of doing that?
Yeah, and he said he would come out and look at it when the time was right.
Bringing it forward, not sticking in the middle of septic field, that wouldn't work, right?
No, oh, absolutely not.
I'm not suggesting you propose.
Yeah, no, if anything, so the line right now goes from this pole to this pole.
Yeah.
So if anything, they're probably gonna shorten it and make it still so it's 150 feet. And then bring it across so that it isn't interfering, because right now it comes across.
That seems like it would make the most sense. It's a shorter one from where this pole is.
Right.
So it'll just back it up and.
Probably, and no closing to the property line.
No, definitely not in the septic or.
25 feet forward.
Nope, and no, if anything, it's gonna move further away from the property line.
Okay, good. I have to drive by your property several times in the interim.
Okay.
And it may be a benefit to the board to tell them what your occupation is.
What my occupation is?
Yeah.
I am a Snap-on tool dealer. I do have a Snap-on truck. It's been parked in my driveway while I was on maternity leave, so I could assist the needs of my customers while I was out. My area is in New Haven. While I was out for 3 weeks, I had a baby on February 20th. I found it necessary to conduct business when needed, and the reason that I had my truck at my property was to be able to do that. My computer's there, my inventory's there. My truck does not live there. I don't know how many times you've driven by pre, and how many times you will after this, probably 100,000. But if my truck is there, my truck is there either for some sort of, I need to clean it, I need to fix something, I have a window that's broken because someone hit it with a truck. My truck does not live there. I have a designated parking space at a place called Marola Motors. They are at 43 State Street in North Haven. The landlord's name is Richie. I park my truck there 95% of the time. My truck does not live at my house. When I first bought the house, before we lived in there, it was there a lot more. But my inventory is not kept there. My truck is there only when needed to be 100% there. So yes, that is why you saw it there. I hope that alleviates any concerns you may or may have.
I don't have any concerns. I thought it may be helpful to the rest of the board.
Okay, well, in true transparency, that's what it is.
Alex, I'm not grilling you. I'm just asking, the letter about the title search and the variance.
Yes.
This speaks to 366, which is your property. And it was the neighbor's concern that around easements and septics that caused us to say, let's go back and see what's what's going on. Are they comfortable with what you said?
I believe.
Also checked their property for easements?
I checked their easements. Do they know that I did that?
Yeah, did they accept it?
I don't know if they know or not.
And, you know, and recollections and those types of things are important, and then what's the official record, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, she seemed somewhat knowledgeable about she had to. I'm not challenging her, and I can't say just because she said it. It's
right.
True, right?
Okay.
It would be nice to know if she feels comfortable with that. That really was the core, one of the core reasons why we delayed this.
The next day, she had said that she did not have, she didn't feel that she had adequate time to review the proposal. Mr. Treat had read a letter I had written and asking why she didn't feel that way. Since then, I have communicated with her daughter and her husband. They were the other two that were here.
Mm-hmm.
I printed up, they didn't have a packet of last meeting. The next day I printed a packet out. I delivered it to them. I said, hey, call me with any questions. At that time, she had understood from what I know that what I was trying to do, I think she was slightly confused. I thought she thought I was trying to take 15 feet of her property.
Possibly.
I'm not sure what, but I told them if they have any questions, any concerns, anything pops in their head, I'm right next door.
Yeah.
I think them not being here tonight to speak on it answers a lot of questions of any doubt whether they're for or against it.
Okay.
Do I know that they did a title search, that I did a title search on them? I did not explicitly tell them that, but it did get uploaded to Danielle. It would have been available per the agenda and the packet on the internet if it, in my eyes, I can't speak for them, if it was as important as she made it out to be last meeting, she would have been here.
Well, you know, this is about your property, not hers. But when a neighbor raises concern, we try to do due diligence and make sure we...
And does that letter from the attorney, I don't have it memorized anymore. I believe it says... The title attorney reviewed the title search and there is no easement on this property. Well, the title search I had done is hers. This is in relation to the 370 West Street title search, which is her property.
Okay.
That title search again is uploaded, all however many pages it was. I don't think Danielle printed it because it wasn't printed until tonight.
Pardon me, the title search was looking for the easement.
Any possible easement.
Any possible easement.
Correct.
Shared right away. Anything that would.
Yep.
Was enabling access to their rear property line. And she had also made the comment that she lost one on Lux Way. And I who knows, right? I'm just, the first closest I could figure, I was looking at that map over there. So, you know, certainly, easement right away. You know, there's lots of different forms of, nothing shows up. Her site plan would have been beneficial, but that's neither here nor there.
You're curious, there was a plan in the back of her research that showed a potential subdivision on her lot, and the up against O'Neill's property was another lot, and then a right-of-way, and then another lot, so it kind of came in the middle of hers, and that is in the title search, way at the bottom with some of the maps that were submitted.
Did we what?
Get the title search.
The title search is of no concern to us. What we did is we got a letter from the lawyer stating that there is no right of way on this property.
Okay.
And that's our concern.
Okay.
If there's problems with the next door property, that's not our concern. Okay.
Okay.
We have no jurisdiction over any of that stuff.
Sure.
So why I had a copy of the letter from the lawyer.
That's fine, Morris. Yeah. So Rachel, can you just finish your sentence, please?
With regards to the,
you said her site plan was illuminated in the title search.
In the title search, there was a draft of some sort of a site plan, subdivision plan for
the
her.
Rear part of her property.
And what it looked like, I can draw on this one. So if this is hers, she
but it's got nothing to do with this property.
Has nothing to do with this property. But the right of way was one lot over. So there was a lot here, then the right of way, and then another lot.
Gotcha.
It wasn't even drawn up against his property,
I appreciate that.
Which kind of maybe would alleviate the concern that And just from a construction or somebody who does subdivisions, you would never put a road in up against someone else's property because she would be giving him all her frontage and she'd be losing so much opportunity.
That's just looking for clarity, right?
Sure.
And that's why I brought that map over there.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Okay, because as I recall, way back in the title search, the Planning and Zoning Commission made them merge.
Yes.
Different pieces of property. So when that is done, that does away with any right of way.
Yep.
Because the right of way is only for access for people to get to the public highway. She owns all the land in between.
She does, yeah.
So it's not an issue. I hate to be that definitive about it.
Has nothing to do with it. Anything she does really doesn't affect this property anyway.
Even if the right of way was right along the boundary line, it doesn't make any difference.
Would still work, yep.
Okay.
Nate, one more clarification. I thought you clarified it then when Morris just said something, it confused me again. So Attorney Blackwell did a title search on your property. This is a statement that it's your property that doesn't have?
The letter that you're looking at is a statement for the 370 West Street property.
Okay.
He was my real estate attorney when I bought 366.
Yep.
And he had reviewed it with me.
Right, originally when you purchased property.
That and when I called him the next morning after last meeting.
Okay.
To find out how it all worked. And there's no easements on 436, go ahead.
So when you bought it though, why would he be doing a title search on 370?
He didn't. I bought it in 2021.
Right.
They did a title search as part of the mortgage.
On yours, yes.
And I called him the next morning after this variance. I called him the next to confirm because I didn't remember him explaining an easement at our closing in 2021.
On your property.
On my property.
Right.
And then he said, in the best interest, do a title search on her property and you will know if there's any easements on her property. He also explained to me that you don't need an easement to use your own property. But again, that is not for tonight.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I thought you clarified it.
He's very thorough.
Morris, we haven't heard anything from 370 West Street from Betty Dove or
Carol Dove.
Carol Dove, I'm sorry. We haven't heard anything from them in writing or notice. We gave them 30 days to produce evidence of an easement and we haven't heard anything from them.
I think we're getting it all bent out of shape as far as this easement is concerned. Okay, we have a letter from Attorney Blackwell that says, has reviewed the title search and there is no easement on this property.
Good point.
And it's reference to 366 West Street.
That's cool.
To me, that's all we need.
Yeah.
A letter from the attorney saying that there's no easement here. And that should be all we have to do. I don't know where we're getting such a...
Well, he's referencing 377 on there.
No, he's referencing 366. It says...
This is what I was just...
Right, you're 100% correct. That email thread started as my address confirming that there was no easements.
On your property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Any further need to discuss it?
Okay, so this email thread that you're looking at started with me confirming that there was no easements on my property. When we got to the point where he said that we should do a title search on 370, we just kept using the same email thread.
So when he says this in this email, that's 370?
Correct.
So this is...
Which is also the same day that you'll see the check is made for 370. The payment was made.
What you're saying is this letter from Attorney Blackwell says that there's no easement on the 370 property?
Correct. Even though...
Well, it says at top of the letter, read 366. What else am I supposed to assume?
Well, that's why we're...
That's why we're asking the question, Morris.
Yeah?
That's why we asked the question.
Right.
For clarification, Morris.
Okay.
Same question you just asked.
Okay.
For clarification.
Okay. I think we're good.
Okay, any more information about the easement? Telephone pole? Okay. Anything more from the two of you?
I would just say again, you know, seeing that no one is here tonight may speak volumes to how important it was to them. Thanks for coming out and doing this, I guess. And if you have any questions, I hope I've answered them. I don't know. Rachel, anything you'd like to add to any of this?
I do not, unless there's any questions or concerns still. Hopefully we've answered them all.
Rachel, you did this site plan? This planning?
Yes.
The actual 25-yard setback, is that approximately half the width of the garage?
Yes.
Yes?
The garage is 25 feet wide.
I just wanted to.
Yes, correct.
Yep, exactly, right. I just wanted to make sure. And the height of the garage?
I don't have the exact plans yet, but as we mentioned last meeting, it's about 10 feet higher than the existing garage.
But there will not be a second floor or loft or anything, is that correct?
Not in the plans, no.
Well, not with what you're going to build?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir, would you glance at this?
Sure.
See the thing I drew that I superimposed? The building?
Yes.
Not where it is, but what it is.
Yeah.
Is that about what you think it would look like from the front? Might not have a cupola on it, but.
It definitely won't have a cupola on it because it would put it way over the height for an accessory building, being the site. But it is not going to interfere with the existing structure that is already on the property. As engineered with trusses, it's not traditional framing, but.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be taking that apart if you don't have to.
Is it a pole barn?
Negative, full foundation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? If not, we'll close the public hearing on the O'Neill application. Next thing that we have is the approval of the minutes. If you want to discuss the application, we can go into that session. We can finish approval of the minutes and then go into it, because there's nothing left, whatever the board would like to do. Okay.
Typically, we would continue with the discussion on the proposal.
All right.
Yeah.
We will, Josh?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Okay, all right. Okay, so let's continue the discussion on the application. I'd like to attack this from the statute standpoint. And you're all given copies of the statute. And we'd like to proceed in following through with that. As a zoning board of appeals, we are a quasi-judicial type of agency. That means we're like a court, but we're not part of the court system. So my suggestion is to pull out your copies of the state of the statutes that you were given, and we'll go through the motions here.
I don't know if I have mine either.
I may not have brought what I should have brought. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to section 8-6 on page 689. And down the bottom of the page.
What page, please?
689, Josh.
689?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. And we go down to the bottom, in parentheses three there, where it says to determine the very application of zoning laws and ordinance or regulations in harmony with their general intent and purpose, and due consideration for conserving the public health, safety, convenience, welfare, and property values, solely with respect to a parcel of land where owing to conditions especially affecting such parcel, but not affecting the district in general in which it is situated, a literal enforcement of the bylaws, ordinance, and so forth would result in exceptional difficulty or unusual hardship so that substantial justice will be done and the public safety and welfare secured. There's a key word in there. Has anyone picked it up? Care to put forth we want to have a discussion on this so that the goal here is that when we consider variances, that we look at the facts, we look at the law, and we turn them over in our head, and we come to a conclusion as to what the answer will be. And that is more meaningful than if someone tells you what it is. So if you review the facts and apply the law to it and come to a conclusion, it is more meaningful. And as it turns out, it's so easy to be that you'll find that the answer presents itself. So we'll go back up. Any concern with the public health? Pros or cons? Any discussion? Come on, people, we're all educated. I want to have a discussion here so we approach this in the right way. Jonathan?
Only a minor concern is if an emergency vehicle needed to get to the back of the property, it would probably find it would. That's the only concern that came to mind. But chances are, if an emergency vehicle needed to get somewhere, it would find a way to get there. So we don't need to talk about it any further, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, the reason I went into this is, as I said, there's a key word there. And I'm not playing games with you people. I want you to think. I want you to try and come to the conclusions yourself. So without further ado, the key word is public. We have to deal with public. And the zoning regulations and the municipalities concerned with providing for the public. So if something is private, it's not public. And my understanding of the law is that municipalities are not obligated nor required to enforce or put in place private citizens' rights. That belongs to the courts. So what we have to determine here is if there's any concern with the public. So is there any concern with the public health? Anyone see any problems there? Public safety. Any problems there?
Yeah.
Public convenience. Any problems there? Public welfare. Morals being corrupted if we allow this variance. Yeah. And property values. Now, Mary, with your experience, you probably could speak to property balance and bringing into effect at your job. You would have some input in this. What this particular application is for, is it for as an asset or a liability to the property? Does it increase the value or diminish the value of the property?
How about a tax asset?
Pardon?
How about a tax asset for the town of Bolton? A tax asset for the town of Bolton.
I was getting to that.
It's an asset on one side and it's a liability on the other. It hurts the neighbors. It potentially hurts. It always has, and it always will have the potential to hurt the neighbor because the neighbor ends up with less than what they had before a potential variance was granted.
All right. In this particular case, how do you envision that it hurts the neighbor in this particular case?
I'm speaking in the same general terms as do the public health and welfare and all that. They're general terms.
Okay.
Well, they have to look at this large structure.
The view.
So it changes their view.
All right. In this particular property, is that an issue?
The neighbor isn't here to tell us tonight if that's her issue.
It's for us.
Or the neighbor that moves in 100 years from now.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
10 years from now.
Right.
Or the odor, maybe.
Right.
Or the sound.
Right. Because this runs with the land.
We spread chicken manure sometimes on the farm. Boy.
Okay. All right, then how is it? In this particular case, if you view the property up there, and if you could bring it up on your computer through Google, you see the amount of growth and foliage and so forth between the two properties.
Is that changing at all?
Pardon?
Is that changing at all with the construction?
No. If that's why it's so important to go see on the property, to go there and see what it is. There's a line of trees on the property.
They're large trees.
Which is pine, thick growth. On the other side, on the neighbor side of the property, there's nothing but brush and undergrowth and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The nearest building is a barn, I don't know, maybe 100 feet away from the property line. So where this particular person wants to put their garage, the distance between there and the next building is more than 25 feet.
Today.
That's what we're dealing with today, John, though. Today.
I gotta get a drink of water, pardon me.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
All right, oh, wait, let me come back.
Oh, go ahead, I can hear.
All right.
Sort of.
All right, so we have a detriment to the neighbor. What are the asset then to the property? Does it add value to the property? What they want to do?
For this owner, it does.
Sure.
Yeah. Does it add to the neighborhood?
No.
No?
Not my opinion.
Okay.
I'm just answering your questions, right. Morris, because if you want answers, I'm telling you, no.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's somewhat overbuilt for the neighborhood to have that much garage space.
Pardon?
It's somewhat overbuilt for the neighborhood to have that much garage.
It's an R1 zone.
Yep.
Lot.
Okay.
And that then.
Okay.
There's implications about that around that.
Is it an asset or a detriment for the town? Taxes?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Asset for the town, yeah.
Unquestionably.
Very little construction in town, yeah.
Can squeeze more tax revenue out of the same piece of property without having to provide additional services. Okay. What this person wants to do is build a cover for what they're already doing and using. If you drive by the property and you see how it's being used now, you'll find all the vehicles lined up beside the garage on that side. And so, in order to protect your property, you want to build a cover over it. His occupation is, as he said it is, so if he wants to work on his business or his truck, bring it inside where he can work on it, protect it from the weather. Is that an asset? I don't know, to me it is. So that if you see how the property is being used now, it's just a matter of putting a cover over what they're using already. So we're talking about property values, okay. Now, the other thing is, this gentleman that was here the other evening, he gave his thoughts, and one word stuck in my mind. He said the property owner inherited his hardship. Well, what hardship did this gentleman over here see that was inherited? But you look at the property as a whole, that's why the maps were brought up. look at the property as a whole. The property was purchased as is. And when you look at the property, you'll see that everything is skewed to the south side. Therefore, this particular applicant is not doing something that is being anticipated or buying it with the idea that they're going to build a garage and have a short side there. So what I'm trying to get you to do is look at the whole thing as a whole. Look at the property as a whole. If you stand at the street and look up and see, is it admirable or detrimental to have something like this go forward? Does it help the town? Does it lead to the welfare of the town? And in that way, be an asset for the town from a public standpoint. As far as the telephone pole is concerned, that's not a public easement up there, so it's a private matter. And that's not necessarily something that the town can be concerned with. It's between the property owner and the utility company. As far as an easement is concerned, there again, it's not a public easement, it's a private easement. So in looking at this whole thing and trying to apply the statute to the facts, you come up with a conclusion, and it turns out to be very easy, and the answer is provided for you. So all I'm trying to do is try to get the members to embrace how to approach this and how to look at it and how to spot different things. That's all. I have any other comments or move forward?
Move forward with what, Morris?
Well, either we grant or deny the variance. Or...
Okay, well, I think everyone ought to have a chance to speak.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, Mary, I'll start with you.
You can start.
Okay.
Go on.
So, I understand that you're going through Morris, and you know, I haven't been on the board for a long time. There's other considerations. People that come to this board are often looking to improve their use of the property. And so the types of things that come through are pools, porches, in-law apartments, garages, bigger garages. You know, it's usually an expansion that's filling a void. Now, I'm just talking generically, right? I'm not talking about any regulations that are in any of these books. You know, whether this is an accessory building, Alex, or an extended garage, you know, you have four garages now in that property. So you're adding 1,500 square feet. I think your two garages that you have separate from the house are about 1,000 square feet. We brushed over it very quickly at the last meeting. Is there an alternative that's less intrusive to a 60% encroachment upon the side yard variance? And so I just got to be honest. I don't know exactly how I'll vote, but to me, it's somewhat excessive in the sense that the standpoint of utility of your property, you've got a lot of capability. And you also have a building that you could make bigger if you chose to by 15 feet. So your 30-foot wide garage could be 15 foot wider. You know, there's a lot of built in your requests around the length of a trailer, your desire to have a trailer and a truck connected, right? That's the 50 feet piece. Correct. That you mentioned last time we were here. So, you know, I think, and the hardship isn't the need, the fact that you want to have an accessory building or another garage or however you describe it. You know, the request is the first piece you look at. And then the second piece is, you know, what are the alternatives and is it warranted to do in this R1 zone property? You know, the challenge with situations like this, call an accessory building, call it a garage, call it a barn. You know, you're talking about approximately 30 feet high. It's about as extensive of an accessory building as you could request for that piece of property. 30 by 50 by 30, right? And if this board chooses, everyone voting, you know, based on their own decisions and criteria, if this board's approved this, and we've set a precedent for R1 zone lots in town, for, you know, it'd be pretty hard to defend. And so then we'd be looking at things, do neighbors have a problem with it, et cetera, that type of thing. But, you know, personally, I gotta be honest with you, I don't remember, I'm just talking honestly from my heart, not legally, I don't remember granting this level of variance based on the use required in a situation like this, where you have four entities that you can store equipment in, cars, reasonably sized trailers, et cetera. You know, so what's in my head, having visited the property a couple times, I drive halfway up the driveway and take a look. You know, my feeling is you have options to leverage your existing structure. What you're doing is you're creating more space for more equipment than what you have. And so, you know, limitations on property lines and limitations on how much acreage you have within your property, you know, it come into play here, along with, are we setting a precedence for the rest of the town? So my gut right now, talking to the board, is that this is, you know, an excessive request under the circumstances, based on, you know, what you have in that space right now. And, you know, R1 means something, right? They're larger lots that, you know, the setbacks are 25 feet for a reason. And, you know, we're almost throwing that out the window if we turn that into a 10-foot right side variance on this property. Independent of your neighbors, independent of the trees, the pole, any of that, right? And often compromise has been brought, you know, to bear here. Smaller variances, you know, people don't get 100% of what they've asked for, but, you know, they get to achieve the objectives they're looking for, maybe in a constraint. That's kind of why I was quizzing you. How wide's the garage door? Okay, you know, that, and you've got, I guess it was 8 foot worth of additional storage space or workspace or whatever it is on both sides of the trailer and your truck. So what you do with the building is your business, really, and not ours. But, you know, as a structure, it's pretty sizable, and it is a big variance for an R1 zone lot. So those are my comments to the board.
Discussion?
I have a question.
It is a discussion.
Want to have a discussion?
Well, no, I think everyone should have a chance to either ask questions or say their opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Just as for discussion purposes, okay, you put forth here. This is the way judges go back and forth, okay?
Yeah. Well,
and that's what I'm trying to build. So for discussion purposes, the property owner owns the property. The property owner would like to do what they want to do with the property. Should this board or anybody else substitute our judgment for their judgment? In their judgment, they want to put a cover over their property so that they can protect their personal property, work on their personal property, potentially bring more revenue to the town. So should we discuss our judgment as to what they should do with their property? Just discussion, that's all.
Are you asking me that question?
Huh?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Is it rhetorical or
give
do
and
I?
Take. Yeah.
I don't agree with the premise of the question, Morris.
Okay.
Right? We're trying to assess a situation where this property owner wants to extend the utility of that property for a particular need. We don't weigh in on, you know, is it a valid need? We weigh in on the implications of granting the variance. Okay, we look for alternatives to the location. That's why the topology of the land, the reserve septic field, et cetera, all are things that matter and get taken into consideration. It's, you know, it's Well, you know, and I'm not gonna, I don't want to debate it with you per se, Morris. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. I think it's an excessive amount of square footage and relative to the other items that are part of that property. And I think it's a 15-foot variance, I think, is excessive in an R1. I think, like I said, I think we'd be setting a precedent that would almost, you know, create a 10-foot right side setback on R1 zone properties.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to promote.
No, I know, that's fine. I'm giving my full.
Anybody else have any?
I'd like to hear from John, please.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go.
You want to go first?
A couple questions because I'm new to the board. So, is it not common for someone to ask, come to the board and look for variance on, say, a shed or an outbuilding that is goes to 10-foot the property line? I know this one's a little excessive. It's high. It's
all the time.
Okay.
All the time.
And the other question is Route 85. Interesting, because you said it's R1, obviously. I guess I've never lived in town for 12 years. You have, it comes commercial. It's commercial there where the farm is, where the horse farm is. Yeah. And then that's commercial there, is it not? And then right at Freddie Lux, it must become residential. Is that how that works?
Oh, yes.
Because I never put that line right there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yes, thank you.
Come on, Jonathan.
I have a thought, which is best expressed in a picture. And I believe it's in the best interest to, I'll show Morris, and you can all come around.
Yeah, come on, I want to stimulate discussion. Yeah.
Here's the discussion. Here's his place. Mm-hmm. I've cross-hatched out this rectangle of his existing garage. All right, this is his existing garage.
Huh?
He sacrifices this. He moves his building up to here. So he's lost 12 by 28 and he's gained 50 by 30. And he's hardly outside of the side yard setback. He might be 2 or 3 feet. In fact, if I were applying, I would ask for a 2 or 3 foot variance.
Is that a 30 by 50? You
yes.
Both on that?
Yes, it's the same 30 by 50 that's
okay.
Drawn here.
Okay, got it.
I've merely pushed it back inside the building area.
The existing garage.
By sacrificing
the existing garage. Yeah.
12 or 15 feet of his existing garage. This, all of this wall structure and whatnot could remain. That would be up to people that are a lot smarter than I am. To my way of thinking, it lends itself satisfactorily to the driveway. It's a little tighter here, obviously, but it's not. It's not going against the rules and regulations, for which, in my opinion, there is no hardship. If the hardship claim went to appellate court, I don't believe that it would be sufficient to grant a variance. And I think I'm the first one that's brought up the word hardship, on which this whole process hinges.
Okay. Yeah, good alternatives. This is what I want. This is what I want to stimulate, this kind of discussion. Yes, this is a good idea. Thank you, Jonathan. Yes. So, if we All right, let's approach it. All right, anybody else? Mary, you want to weigh in on anything?
I don't have any strong other, you know, other points to bring up other than what was brought up already. That's, the hardship issue is why I was asking last month, could the building be put somewhere else? Because there is a lot of land, and yes, it would change the character. I understand the conversation about having it in the front, but my whole purpose of that question was, does it have to be in that location?
Well, do you see a hardship? Okay, don't answer that.
Let me ask a question. Is there anything on the property, any condition that you've seen?
Yes.
That's unusual?
Yes.
Different?
Yes.
Atypical, odd, or peculiar from other lots you've seen up and down the streets of Bolton?
Yes, I see a hardship, Jonathan.
You've seen something peculiar?
I see the hardship. Okay.
No way, I didn't mention hardship.
Well, the peculiarity is a hardship. That's what that gentleman said. See, what clicked in my mind is what he said. He inherited it. And what did he inherit? That's what made me stand back and look at the property. When this property was built, it was built farther, closer to the south property line than the north property line.
So what's different about his property?
Location. Location is the key word. Location of the property.
Oh, wait a minute. On the property.
Yep.
What condition exists that's peculiar from other properties that you may have seen in your travels?
Several. One is sets way back from the road. It's not close to the highway.
There aren't others that do that?
There are some.
Okay.
Okay. But as far as generally in town, it's not right up close to the highway. It sets back. It sets on a hill. It's such that it, if you put the garage in front of the house,
it's on the precipice of the hill.
Precipice, yeah.
That's peculiar to you. Yes.
No, that's.
You bring it up, so, okay.
That's the difference of this property. It's on a precipice that slopes back in the front, okay? And so to me, that's the hardship. The hardship is location. Location of the driveway, location of the access to the property, location of the septic system, location of the reserve, location of everything. There are other places he on the property where he could put the outbuilding. And the difference is he just doesn't have enough land.
But you think if you took a hundred properties at random out of Bolton,
yeah,
you compared them in some objective way,
right?
The things you've just spoken of would stand out as being particular to his property.
Yes, because
okay.
If he's,
answer.
If you, the old properties that have not been developed, okay, but the newer properties, you're in neighborhoods, the houses are closer to the street. I can see where the situation is from an old property, but this perhaps is part of an old farm, and it is set back. And in that particular location, I think that to me is what presents the hardship. And to me, while I think he can put the garage somewhere else, and from my reading of the court cases, the judges don't like to put their judgment in the context of the judgment of the applicant. So, my concern is this: if we deny the variance, on what reason do we do it? And if an appeal is taken, so the standard procedure in court is that the ZB acted illegally, arbitrarily, and in abuse of his discretion. The legislature has given us the discretion to make these judgments, to make it, frankly, easier for the court system. So, if you don't see a hardship, then, well, all right, that's what we're here for. I see a hardship. So, That's where I'm coming from.
Mary, you want to say something?
Well, can there be a hardship if this is, if we determine this is in a residential or one-acre area? And with the statement from Bill, there obviously is a lot of garage space already, and this is a large amount of additional garage space. Is that a hardship? Because there, it's not like there's a lack of garage space. And yes, he may want more garage space, but is there a hardship as far as not having enough garage space? I mean, if there's alternatives where you can put the garage and still maintain, you know, a relatively similar amount of space that he's looking for with where he's putting right now, it's the location of it that's the issue. So if he wants more garage space, is there other alternatives? As John showed us, there could be other alternatives that would minimally impact the sidelines. And have those been explored by the home?
Okay, well, I was just trying to look ahead. If we deny the variance, then we have to give a reason for it. So on that basis, we cannot deny it whether we think it's too big or not, because that has to, right. that is the purview of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Building Department to comply with the code.
But there's no, the lot isn't oddly shaped, it's not triangular, it's not, I mean, the house is in the center of the lot. It doesn't look like where the house is located is causing that much of a problem. Oftentimes, at least for the small amount of time I've been on ZBA, it's for pools or whatever, it's because the lot is an odd shape and the existing structures are in a place where you don't have an alternative to put another structure.
Right. Okay.
Are there alternatives to put this structure and still allow the homeowner to achieve what he's trying to achieve without it impacting the sideline?
If we allow this variance, is it detrimental to the overall plan for the town?
In a manner, if it sets a precedent, it could be.
Well, we're supposed to decide each particular case on its own merits as far as that's concerned.
True, but anytime you make a decision, it's
just... Does it tear apart our plan of zoning? Does it tear apart? Does it destroy our plan of zoning? Is this like wanting to put a machine shop in the middle of a neighborhood?
No, I don't think it's that. No.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get at is what is the impact on the town, on the public, on our plan of development, on our plan of
well, it's a residential zone,
right?
And this is a large structure, almost commercial looking. I mean, we'll see. We don't even have a plan of what the structure is going to look like.
If you're going down, you must have gone down Notch Road lately. You see that big barn on Pete Massolini's old property right across from the schoolhouse? Yeah, that didn't come to us, but that particular structure literally dominates the property.
Yeah.
And that was allowed because.
It met the zoning requirements.
Yeah.
Oh, it meets the zoning requirements.
Yeah.
How about the 5 apartments they put on like 1 or 2 acres over on Loomis? Mm-hmm. Did that come to you guys or no?
No. It's
that's a different.
Different categorization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Anymore? All right, Jonathan. That's a good idea, Jonathan.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
I don't feel well. I'm going to excuse myself.
Okay.
I apologize for my demeanor. I'm
going
a little off the mark here in tone of voice and perhaps in body language. Good luck. I'll leave this. If you just toss it out later.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jonathan, you
feel better.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah. I gotta eat something and get some water. My apology.
No apologies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
No.
So with regard to the hardship, I mean, and where to place the building, like, maybe, I think they made a strong case that it can't really go in the back, because all the water's just gonna flood into it.
Well, that, she's talking way down there, because it's going downhill, so the water.
But there's still a slope, so like, water's gonna run into it.
If it's down there, yes, but.
No, we should table this, we should table discussion and decision until.
And then they shouldn't, that doesn't make sense either, that's.
We should table the discussion decision until John can be with us. I think that's what we're gonna have to do, sorry.
No, that's fine,
I mean, you're, it's not clear cut out all the time, obviously, but you're asking the right question, right? It's the hard, the property and the current utilization of property creates limitations in terms of what you can and can't do.
Right.
Right? So if it's a 45 degree slope, you're not gonna tell someone they have to build there. It's not practical, so the topology of the land can be a hardship. Septic systems, reserve systems, and, you know, every property has them, right, in bulk.
Right, yeah.
Considerations, but what you can't do is turn a, you know, a 1 acre lot into a 5 acre lot, and that's not what's happening here. Well, my whole point is if people move in and they suddenly decide they're gonna have kids and they wanna have a pool, or they want an in-law apartment, or whatever the case may be, and it's what you can reasonably do to accommodate, given my personal opinion, what you can reasonably do to accommodate it. And when there's alternatives, then you pursue those. Alternatives, other locations, other considerations, smaller size. We don't get to pick how big somebody wants something, and that's not what my point was, but, you know, that you mentioned the horse farm, the new building there, you know, it's about half of what was originally asked for. But it's got the indoor building that he wanted for, you know, for his use, and it's, there is a variance associated with it, but it's not as excessive as it would be otherwise. So, but topology, you know,
right,
there's a lot of rectangle, a triangle, a square, a trapezoid, those things come
right,
into
yeah,
play. You know, where's the driveway? Yeah, well, if you put the driveway on the other side of the house, then you wouldn't have the driveway. That, you know, we don't force people into those situations,
right.
But again, it's every property is unique. We try to do the best we can.
Yep, I'm just trying to flesh out that question a bit, because I mean that's really the crux of the matter. Is there sufficient hardship to justify it?
So I don't know, Morris. I think out of fairness to the applicant, John's not being here. I don't know where that puts us. I don't, you know. I would rather have him here and have five people to vote. Yes or no?
Has this discussion been of any benefit to people? No?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Which part?
Absolutely. Which part?
All of it. If not, we won't go.
Well, so we do this all
the exercise.
We do this all the time. We do this all the time. We've been doing this for years and years and years.
If not, we
it's
won't.
Never,
we
it's
won't
never.
This
seldom.
Way.
It's seldom obvious.
I'm trying to run things through the statute so that.
I know the statutes.
Huh?
I know the statutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have to say if we continue it since John's not here?
Well, you need.
How does it work?
Four.
I don't know how it works.
You need 4 out of 5.
You need 4 yes votes.
And you've given up one of your options.
Yes, so can we continue it is the question.
Yes.
Can we continue it?
I'll.
Requesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I will grant an extension if necessary.
Yeah, and then.
Can we also request that the commission member that wasn't here at the first meeting get caught up to speed so that he can also vote? I know if he listens to the recording and gets caught up to speed on the project, we can add a commission member if necessary.
Second in?
Yeah, especially if we're extending it another month, because he's here, he's heard this entire.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
That'd be me.
But you, Jeff.
Because I missed last month.
If he can get caught up on the previous month, then he'll
sure.
be able to vote as well.
Sure.
To the recording.
We want to do everything in the fairness of the situation.
We would request that.
You know, what you're doing is
yeah.
giving yourself it's time
yeah.
that you pay for it, but
we
don't want to rush to judgment here.
Will we also be able to comment at the next meeting, or is that
yep.
comments will be closed?
No,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Then
same agenda as time, right?
Yeah.
Then we would
yep.
request a continuance.
And,
Yeah.
Maybe we can answer some of your concerns, just on comments we've heard, it's helpful to hear those comments.
And in the meantime, I'll check with planning and zoning, make sure that the paperwork I've submitted is correct and any changes that need to be made.
Yeah, the 3,000, and is that supposed to be existing sideline, or?
I'll check with Mr. D'Amato.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
That would be good.
Okay.
We're trying to work with you. I hope you understand, this is why there's an elected board.
I understand.
And it's not black and white.
That's why we're here.
And, you know, for the amount of time I've been on, looking for alternatives happens often.
Okay.
And you're looking, the alternative means you've, at some level, satisfied the request, but you've minimized the variance.
I understand what you're.
And it kind of stands the test of time. Hopefully.
No, there's a 100 questions.
Well, I'll do what the board wants to do, if you want to,
I make a motion that we postpone voting on this variance application pending the availability of John Treat.
Is there a second to the motion?
I second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one's here. Motion carried, we will.
We'll see you next month.
See you next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Josh will be here then too?
Yep.
That's the general consensus, I